You are listening to 2 Minutes of Torah with Rabbi Danny, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about Rabbi Danny, please visit rabbidanny.com. For more information about other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org.
Shalom, and welcome to 2 Minutes of Torah, Parashat Ekev. Where does love come from? Frank Sinatra sang to us that love is a many splendid thing. Joe Cocker and Jennifer Wernes told us that love lifts us up where we belong. And according to those four prophets from Liverpool, otherwise known as the Beatles, all you need is love. Love is a subject which is frequently used in song, movies and literature. In those formats, we often speak about falling in love, with the implication that it is something which happens from a place beyond our control. This can be a challenging idea when in our Torah, love of God appears as a commandment rather than an emotion. In last week's Torah portion, we read the first paragraph of the Shema with its instruction, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha. You shall love Adonai your God with all your heart. In the book of Deuteronomy as a whole, there are various places where we are commanded that we should love God. And love is not a one-way street. This week's Torah portion begins by informing us that if we keep the commandments, God will love you and bless you and multiply you. But it can sometimes be hard for us to relate to love as a commandment rather than an emotion. Further on in the Torah portion, repeating part of the Shema, we are told, you shall love Adonai your God and keep God's charge and statutes and judgments and commandments. This verse essentially places love of God as a parallel with the observance of God's laws and commandments. However, the text continues with what may be read as a justification for the love, as that generation witnessed all of God's miracles, emphasizing that your eyes have seen all the great acts of Adonai which God did. For the generation standing on the brink of entering the promised land, it is possible that for them, all of God's miracles from Egypt into the wilderness were a form of courtship. God was wooing the Israelites with the signs and wonders which they witnessed, and their love came as an almost natural response. However, the challenge for us is present in the text itself, which says, I speak not with your children who have not known. We are the children who have not known and not seen. While our ancestors were courted, we were not wooed with the signs and wonders. And so our love of God must necessarily come from a different place. Despite this, once a year we sit together around tables in our homes and declare, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but Adonai our God brought us forth from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Through the ritual of the Seder, we imagine that we did witness God's signs and wonders. We claim that we were there, and this imagined experience may therefore be the justification for our love. In this way, the Seder is not just a meal, it is a moment of family education, where we gather together across the generations and retell our story together. One generation was told to love God as a result of what they witnessed, and another generation, our generation, was told to love God as a result of having been taught by those who went before us. Just as the Shema instructs, you shall teach them diligently to your children. We don't necessarily fall in love, but in this case, we learn to love because of our collective experiences, history, and memory. Shabbat Shalom.